It's the late 1970s, and the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing very well for a city of Pittsburgh. They just won a World Series against the Orioles. Now think about it. Pirates, Orioles, World Series. When's the next time I'm going to say that one again? Not for a long, long time. But going forward, everything seems to be doing well until the mid-80s is when we're hit with the Pittsburgh drug trials. There's more than just Pittsburgh Pirates players involved, including Keith Hernandez, who did get a second chance and is well known in the baseball world and still loved to this day, and Tim Raines, that said that, hey, I keep a small vial in my back pocket and I always slide hands first on my stomach to not break the glass vial in my back pocket. So today, this is AJ Torres bringing you Conspiracy Strikes, a segment where some of them are funny, some of them are sad. Some of them are infuriating, and some of them straight up confusing. This is Conspiracy Strikes, and today I bring you the Pittsburgh drug trials. So, to Nick, I'm trying to shorten this one up here. Now, mind you, the thing that always interests me as far as the segment goes is they want drug tests involved, and part of it was blocked by the players' union. And this is in the 80s. When you think of 1980-something, you think, yeah, okay, I get it. But then you're going, okay, you want drug testing banned. But then what happened after the 80s? Maybe late 80s, early 90s? What's new to the party? The juice, the PEDs. Now, our three names, Lenny Dykstra, Jose Canseco, or A-Rod, all is guilty. So here's what we have here. And there's a lot of blame game going around. Now, we could argue about greenies not being banned until the 2000s and Daryl Strawberry, another cocaine user, but he's not involved in this one, believe it or not. He's saying, hey, if you weren't taking greenies, you were at a disadvantage because the baseball would look like a beach ball. There is a lot of verdicts handed out. There was people that were involved in the clubhouse. There is a lot of guys going on. There was six men on 11 counts. There was a lot of suspensions handed out. So here's what actually is the testimony going on. We have John Milner, and he's talking that he's getting stuff from Willie Mays and Willie Stargell. And then he's saying that he buys 2 grams of cocaine for $200 at Three River Stadium during a Pirates and Houston's game in 1980. Keith Hernandez says that he's been using the white powder for 3 years. He said about 40% of Major League Baseball is using the substance in the early 80s. But whatever the case may be, the one that shocked jurors is Rod Scurry once left the stadium during an extra inning game looking for cocaine. And the Pirates, they had drug dealers that were around the clubhouse circle. The Pirate parrot, Kevin Koch, implemented buying cocaine and introduced them to a couple of drug dealers. And then when the whole thing came out, it's like, okay, work with us. We'll, reduce the punishment and everything else. Now, there were a couple of people that were in trouble. Some of them basically just got warnings. So if we had to go by the max punishment, we go suspend a full year. Donate 10% of their salary to drug abuse programs, submit to RAM drug testing, again, blocked out by the players' union, and hard hours of drug-related community service. These players were Joaquin Andujar, Dale Barra, Enos Cabil, Keith Hernandez, Jeffrey Leonard, Dave Parker, Lonnie Smith. And we got 4 players suspended for 60 games, and then half of the salary in community service. Those are Al Howard, Lee Lacy, Larry Sorensen, and Cladel Washington. And then 10 players named, not suspended or punished, but they are submitted to random drug testing. Again, blocked by the players' union. Dusty Baker, Vita Blue, Gary Matthews, Dickie Knowles, Tim Raines, Manny, what's that, Sarmento, Darryl Skonnars, Rod Scurry, Darryl Thomas, and Alan Wiggins. Now, this was some kind of thing where they're like, oh, weren't these guys gonna get in trouble, banned from baseball? Now, do I think that's a little overly dramatic? You can make the argument there, you really can. But the one thing is that actually is good about this is if you look at the career of Keith Hernandez, He continued his gold glove streak until 88. And if you look at him as commentator, everybody loves the guy. Everybody believes in second chances, right? This, I think, is a good one to go over. And the reason why I bring this up is simply because if the drug testing wasn't blocked by the players' union, what would happen in the steroid era of baseball? Now, there's so many scandals I could cover. We're talking Balco. We're talking Biogenesis. We're talking, you know, the Mitchell report. We could go into all of that. And there are some reports where, you know, a big one was Aaron Boone was listed on one of the reports, but his brother Brett Boone actually was caught and was positive, but Aaron Boone did not use the stuff. Very interesting, to say the least. But how do you picture this? Well, long story short, and we've reviewed on Jose Fernandez and Tyler Skaggs, rest in peace to both of them. But would they still be here, and would they be testing for the drugs in their system? Jose Fernandez, God bless his soul, was found with cocaine in his system as well as alcohol on the boat. Some people say he was framed, but some of the evidence just says, well, it was in his body. Tyler Skaggs was a drug abuser, unfortunately, and fentanyl was in his system, and that's what took his life. So is there a chance that if we had the drug testing back then, and if it was stronger testing, I mean, we test daily or every other day for COVID-19. While we're at it, wouldn't it be better if we were able to test for other drugs there? Or would it just be like, nah, man, I can't do this, or it's against my rights? You know, some people are saying, hey, they're after me. There's some professional athletes believe, oh, these RAM tests are after me. I'm not sure exactly what I believe, but I think that it was a system that, I mean, they thought they had control over it, but it doesn't pay to play doctor. We've all learned that one. So this is actually one that I actually keep in the back of my mind. And it even went for a 30 for 30 documentary from ESPN as far as those involved. This is one I won't forget, and I think this was really the downfall of the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's not karma, in my opinion, but right after this, pretty much it never got to the same part again. You could blame that on the ownership. Poor fans in Pittsburgh. This is AJ Torres of Calling Strikes, courtesy of Undrafted Sports. Take it easy, everybody.